Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Therapy here on this Monday night. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and I am your host for this evening. I'm calling in from the bottom of the island in New York City, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, Diane Mallett, who is in Boston, Massachusetts. Good evening, Di. How's it going?
Hey, Nicole. Everything's really good up here. The weather's great. It was a nice Thanksgiving. So, things are good.
Cool. Yeah, I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday and that they were able to give thanks for what they have and their people. So, and then... The follow-up giving thanks, we're going with anger management tonight. just in case we needed a little help in the anger management department. But I'd like to start the evening with our moment of silence. If we would all close our eyes, you can do this live or in the archive. And I was thinking about our moment of silence and why it's so important for us to incorporate something like this in our lives, because it's really prayer with or without religion and is very powerful. You know, we're putting our energy into a thought and an intention and a focus, and that's how we make things happen. So let's close our eyes and fill ourselves with the loving light. We can picture a ball of light in the middle of our body and growing out to incorporate our entire being. And take a second to feel that wonderful loving light. And tonight's prayer is for us all to have patience. Patience with ourselves, patience with the world, patience with learning, patience with all the things we are looking to achieve and haven't manifested yet. Because in patience, there's peace. So you just think of the word patience for a few moments, how that feels. That's our moment. And blessed be. How did that feel to you, Di?
It kind of makes me laugh a little bit. There's this, I have this feeling about praying for patience, and I don't subscribe to the normal thought. I feel as though if you're asking your higher power for something like patience or love or tolerance, what they're going to do is give you areas in your life where you can work on patience, love, and tolerance. So they could put you in a long line or give you a 14-year-old daughter who has zero patience for everything. So sometimes, honestly, I don't want to pray for patience because I don't want to be given one example after the next to make myself suffer with patience. But I know it's important. I know that you don't have a lot of growth unless you have a lot of patience in your life. And it is something that we need to, patience and humility, these are all attributes that we definitely need to work on daily. So it is good that we have these opportunities in our life to do it. But honestly, it's something that I always kind of shiver when I think, oh, pray for patience, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get stuck in line at Starbucks, and then I'm going to be in traffic, and then I'm going to be, you know, coming home to I'm hungry and feed me and I can't find my sweatshirt and we got to go.
You definitely want to be in the right vibration with patience. I chose patience because thinking about anger, and I think one of the most important things we can do with our own anger is, I say, stop, drop, and roll with it, just like fire. Just stop and take a moment, have a little patience with the situation, this person, with yourself. That moment of patience can go a long way in having an anger fire grow, not so big, or maybe not at all, is really the goal. So
we have
a
saying in my group of people that I hang with all the time, and it's just real simple. It's called pause when agitated. And we may laugh about it, and we may say it a little bit too often, but it actually, the more you say it and the more you do it, the easier it is to do, you know. It's such a simple a tool to learn, but it's really hard to, like, when you first trying to use it, like, pause and agitated, like, how, I'm always agitated, but to stop and be like, pause, and just saying it out loud, it's making you pause. So, yeah, we definitely say that a little bit too much in my circle, but I like it because it reminds me that that's exactly what we need to do in order to step away from anger and find peace of mind, which is the opposite. It's the opposite of anger. It's where you want to be. You want to be in the level of, you know, my mind is peaceful. So.
Right. Yeah. That feeling of anger, like I was thinking about why it feels the way it does. And to me, it can feel good in the beginning, and then eventually at some point it feels bad. Or sometimes I guess it comes in such a strong vibration that it can feel bad initially as well. But why? Why does it feel bad? Well, it's we're going away from our source. It's one of these emotions that's going away from where we want to be with our own natural state of well-being. But yet anger is such a vital part of being human. It's very natural, and we need it for our survival. We need these, because anger, what does it do? It makes your blood pressure rise. It makes your hormones, your energy hormones pump. Your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, your adrenaline goes up, your fight or flight response goes up. So, you know, if we're being attacked, we need to have these things, and anger can be very helpful there. So, but it's the same thing with these instincts that we've had as humans, and now we're not fighting saber-toothed tigers. We're not having to, you know, chase down dangerous animals to feed ourselves. And so to be able to use this natural instinct to our advantage instead of getting stuck in that feeling. You know, there's a book, Zebras Don't Die of Heart Attacks, or that's not the title, but it's something like that. Zebras don't have high blood pressure or something like that. And the idea was the zebras go to the lake and they drink water and it's fine and everyone's calm. And then a lion shows up and all hell breaks loose and everyone flies in every direction and adrenaline's high and you're running for your life. And then it's over. And then they go back to drinking at the same water that, you know, eventually it's fine. So that's where, as humans, we can learn from our animal brothers and sisters on, okay, just because you felt this reaction now let's work on calming, coming back to neutral, coming back to a calm state of being so that we don't harbor any of these things and cause problems mentally and physically.
I just looked it up. It's called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. So something to look it up, and it's by Robert Sapolsky, and basically it talks about, it's like a guide to stress and stress-related diseases and how to cope with them, but it definitely talks about exactly what you're talking about, that fight or flight response, and how we're trying to move away from it, but the actual stimulation in the human body and the hormones and everything that happens when we are in that fight response and how that affects us and how to go into it when we need it and to get out of it. You know, I think anger as humans, as people, what our tendency to do, and I see this a lot, is that we love to live in anger. We can carry a resentment on for years. You find that, you know, people who just live in resentment, they got into a fight 6 years ago with their sister or their brother, and, you know, they don't talk to each other for Christmas dinner, and, you know, it's, you know, I'm not going to invite them over, and I haven't talked to them in a million years, and it's sad. We definitely hold on to anger, and
any of those negative, those negative emotions that we know of, any one of them can feel good. Anger, jealousy, even depression, despair, frustration, any of these, it's true. They can all feel good. And I was thinking about that. Why would the negative emotions feel good? Well, my answer is that it is, not only are all these things just part of our human palate to sample in our experience, but also they're telling us something. And I think we instinctually know that my spirit is trying to tell me something by giving this emotion to me. And I think we're naturally thankful for that. We go, oh, yes, I enjoy this feeling. But the idea is, you know, are you really enjoying this state of being, or are you just lost in the feeling, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It's interesting because we have to be grateful we have these feelings because they're a tool. We without them, we're not going to understand what's going on around us. And so it's good to have unpleasant emotions because they teach us and we grow with them and stuff like that. So I see what you're saying on that line. It's good when we feel angry or unpleasant or humiliated, because if we didn't, then we wouldn't know how to feel happy or excited, or, you know, they're tools. So we have to be grateful that we have the tools to, you know, have feelings and stuff. So,
yeah, and appreciate them for what they are. I mean, there's an emotional scale that Abraham came up with, and I find it very helpful because there's the deep, dark side of the scale of the negative, and then the other side is up to okay, neutral. I'm not happy. I'm not sad. I'm okay. And then from okay, it goes as just as dark as the negative can go, is just as beautiful and joyous as the positive can go. And he also talks about how certain negative emotions are farther down the scale. For instance, the darkest and farthest you can be from your true self and from your source is despair, depression, fear, and powerlessness. And then a step above that is anger, jealousy, guilt, insecurity, and unworthiness. So really, if you're feeling anger, it's better than being depressed and feeling powerless. And then the step above anger is sadness, actually, worry or disappointment. It's less of that. And then the last one before the neutral is frustration, impatience, boredom, and irritation. And then from there we move into, I'm all right. I'm not really feeling anything. And then I'll just keep going. But on the other side of okay comes trust. I don't know it's going to be okay, but I trust it's going to be okay. Hopeful, contentment. And then past that is happiness, belief. I don't just trust. I believe it's going to be okay. And eagerness. And then the highest point is joy, passion, empowerment, freedom, love, and appreciation. So it's interesting how we have like such a long, you know, we have lots of steps where we can really go into the darkness. And then, yeah. And then we have, you know, easy steps to being, I mean, any one of those, I'm sure people would be happy with, you know, because you're on the right side.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of a time in my life where I had to keep track of my emotions because I was facing some, you know, some situations where my mental side of me was not like, it wasn't, you know, and people have disorders. Their emotional scale has disorders. And I've been through that period of my life where, like, my emotional scale was not matching my true self. And one of the exercises that I had to do on a daily basis was really write down my emotions and see my movement from depression and grief and anger to feeling numb, like, dull, and then into, like, something, you know, just, you know, better, and then, you know, best and positive and hopeful and belief. There's a transition in those, but it was really helpful. It's a very helpful tool for those people who have, you know, whether you want to call them mental or emotional disorders, to keep track of these emotions, whether it be anger or sadness or depression or grief or fear. And then on the other side of that be joy and belief and hope and whatnot. And it's funny because you may be in this skewed way of where you are, where you're feeling it consistently daily that you're in depression over and over and over again. And you need to use tools, which I think we're going to talk about later, to move you from depression and, you know, anger and whatnot into a better realm. And try to live there on a more consistent basis. And I think that's what we try to talk about here on Spirit Therapy a lot, is how do we move into that vibration and stick there and stay there. And one of the best things that I know, too, is just kind of keeping an emotional tally on where you are, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from any of our callers if they're listening on how they feel about anger, if they feel like their anger is justified, because that's an interesting question. You know, if they're angry at someone, do you feel justified to be angry or to hang on to that anger? What is that anger doing for you? Because some people believe that anger is like a hot coal that you hang on to. It's not hurting anyone else but you,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, wow. I forgot to say that, and I want to say it more often, that, yes, phone lines are always open, and no matter what we're talking about, we love to hear from you and hear what's going on with you. So if you want to share a story or you want to ask a question, please feel free. The call-in number is 213-816-0357. So, yeah, that's really great, especially if someone's finding their emotions all over the map or generally sticking around either anger, depression, or impatience, to track them and see what triggered them. That's the first tool, is to understand what triggers your anger. Everybody's got them. We know what annoys us. You can even make a list of them. To really look at, you know, when these things happen, and that's really the first step. And then
what
the
trigger? Do you know what? I was going to say, do you have any triggers for your anger?
Nicole? Oh, yeah.
Being an Aries, you tend to fall into anger a little bit more often than I do.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have a best relationship with the anger, whether we like it or not. But, a lot of it is the my way. But it's not just me, Nicole, does this way. Nicole has decided that this is the right way to do it. And I may be right, or I may be wrong, or I may be right for me and not for somebody else, but there are certain things that, if somebody's not paying attention, also, like, to their physical being and, like, they're being just like a bull in a china closet, like, just bumping all over the place and not thinking before they're doing a lot, that definitely gets on my nerves. Because I feel like, I think the anger response is that I can't trust you. I don't know if you're going to do something that is going to create chaos or bodily harm or something. Like, you don't seem to be paying attention to yourself, so now you're a liability. That triggers me.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that trigger our anger and stuff. Like, stress is huge. I mean, when someone's stressed out or they have a lot of frustrations or disappointments, they tend to get more angry. I mean, you see that in a lot of people, like when they're driving on the road and they get a flat tire, it's not the end of the world and the tire can be fixed, but it's the whole moment of frustration, like, and like then you tend to yell at everybody and scream. And, you know, even after, it's so funny, after an accident, what do people do immediately after they get into an accident? And it's
freak
almost
out.
Ironic. They freak out. They yell at the person that either hit them or you hit, you know. So those type of stressful situations cause anger. One of the things that cause anger, and this is one of the things that I have to work with a lot, is annoyances and irritations, resentments, things like that. And it's kind of like what you were saying, when someone's making a nuisance of themselves and, you know, like someone breaking something you like, or, you know, tearing your clothes, or, you know, making loud noises and stuff when you're busy. You can, that piles up with anger. Another couple things that are a little on the heavier scale, which, you know, it all depends on where we come from and our backgrounds and stuff, but abuse is a really hard thing for us to cope with. So when we come in contact with abuse, whether it's verbal or physical, our retaliation or our natural instinct would be to become angry. So if someone pushes you or grabs you or punches you or threatens you, you're going to be angry, you know. And then unfairness, you know, when you feel like, and this is a big one for me, you know, being a middle child of 6 kids, I was always pissed off because someone always got something I didn't get. So I always felt like there were situations where I wasn't being treated fairly because this one, you know, didn't, you know, got something better, or, you know, got more Christmas presents under the tree, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems to be a big
trauma.
Before you say that, that's a big trigger with anger, is why is this happening to me? This isn't supposed to happen to me. I'm supposed to be able to do anything. And then if something doesn't go right, you can get angry. And the interesting thing about that is, well, now that we're learning to connect with our higher being and realize that we are all part of God, I mean, we are all gods connected to the greatest God, right? So it also goes with confidence. A lot of times confident people also have a lot of anger. And it's just misdirected godliness, you know. Everything is working in our favor, even if something isn't working in our favor, we think. Yeah. So to take a step back from that and go, okay, you know, laugh at it and look at it like you are a giant, you know, a god walking among men on this planet. And then that higher perspective, you know, is this thing really, you know, if you were a god, you're really going to yell at this, you know, ridiculousness that's happening in front of you? Like, you know, you can chill out.
But we're also
like that's,
we're taught anger, too. I just wanted to kind of, to be a devil's advocate on that, too. But in the Bible, we're actually taught that God is an angry, vengeful God in the Old Testament a lot. And I know that a lot of people grew up with that image of God. So, you know, it's not the image that a lot of churches are portraying nowadays, because it's people want to give out a good Christian, or even, you know, it doesn't matter what religion you're at, but people are more, I want to say, putting out that positive spirit of a loving God and nurturing God. But mm-hmm. growing up, I know a lot of us, and I'm in my 40s, but and especially people older than us, we heard of Noah's Ark and the vengeful God, and you know, and the Moses and you know, basically the seven plagues and all that other stuff. So it's interesting that in what we learned in our stories were, you know, be careful or God will be angry at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a community, as a worldly spirit, I'm so relieved that we're working away from that ideal image of God. You know, whether it's the goddess or God or whomever you're looking up to as your higher power, I think that more and more we're reaching out and showing people that there's a protective and loving God out there taking care of us. So I'd like to think when I wake up in the morning that my God is working for me and not against me. And
right.
I really start my day like that, you know.
Right.
So.
I believe that, you know, we say that God made us in his image. Well, I believe that we made God in our image. We are vengeful and we can be aggressive and angry and all these things. So we made God that, and God is everything and is in all of us. So yes, that is a part, but you know, now it's kind of philosophy, but to me, you know, God, the source that is all that is so unconditionally loving that whatever you want to do, be angry, fight each other, be sad, feel like you're completely separated from source and alone. The love is so unconditional that you can choose whatever you want. If that's what you want to do, God still loves you. You will still exist always. It's just up to us to choose what kind of a life we want to live as spirits here on this planet. So, but that's a great point about the vengeful God. I mean, I really think it has more to do with us than with God. And then things that just happen. I mean, we see it as God being angry. But listen, the planet has to go through certain cycles. The planet has to do certain things, and sometimes people die. It's not about God hating, my opinion. But
so I have a question about anger, and it's just, you know, from this topic that I don't know as much about it as you do, and you've studied more about philosophy and psychiatry and whatnot, but when you get into an angry state, I know we're going to talk about a couple things that would change us out of that state and move away from it, but what would trigger someone to, I know there's, when you get angry, you can become abusive and rageful, but you can direct that at yourself or someone else. So what I've encountered lately, and I think it's because I have exposure to the teenage society, which I was not exposed to, you know, for 15, 20 years. I didn't know anything about teenagers anymore. I moved into my adult life, and now my daughter's in her teenage years. but I see children, and it probably was happening when I was a kid too, and I just didn't pay attention to it, but I see kids cutting themselves and things like that. And I know that there's a lot of abuse, like drug abuse and things like that, but to actually go and hurt yourself. And then before I think typically when I think of someone's angry, and if they're going to move into that rageful, they're going to punch you in the mouth or kick you when you're down or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at those barroom fights. That, to me, seems a little bit more of a normal expression of anger. I mean, maybe extreme rage or whatever. But what would make somebody internalize their anger to the point where they're hurting themselves and whatnot, like cutting? Because that just blows my mind. I can't wrap my head around it.
Well, there are three ways to deal with anger: expressing, suppressing, and calming. So the cutting is suppressing, and that's where also that's anger turned in towards yourself, and it can come out in physical ways like hypertension or high blood pressure or depression. It can come out in passive-aggressive ways, which taken to an extreme is that super abusive behavior and like rape and like, you know, physical abuse of another person. That's usually suppressed anger that hasn't been released. So, and the cutting is definitely the same thing. Also, a lot of eating disorders can be about suppressing anger.
Absolutely.
You know,
I do agree with that. Depression is really the next step of anger. A lot of people don't understand that, but in my many, many years of therapy, I realized that first you become angry and then you become depressed.
Right.
And you can stay there.
Yeah, it's anger
unless you work on yourself.
Yeah, it's anger that's not redirected or converted into something else. So you've literally swallowed it. And also, long periods of time and a lot of suppressed anger and no release of it. A lot of people, I seem to agree, think that that's can be cancer causing because you're holding in this
cancer
vibration that's not natural for your cells. So it has to go somewhere. And so your cells mutate. So the suppressing is definitely, probably the most self-destructive because, it's energy that needs to go somewhere. And a good thing to do with suppressed anger is, one, imagine the person or the event where you got angry. First, you have to identify it. You have to look at where your suppressed anger is. But also doing any kind of a physical exercise, letting off some steam, punching a bag, anything like that can really, if you get your body going, sometimes you'll remember things that made you angry and you can cry it out. That's definitely a big psychological tool to use. If the emotions come up, then look at that. Listen to yourself. Listen to what information is coming up. As well as what I was saying before, imagining a person or a situation and yelling it out. At least you can start by talking it out, and maybe you can just talk it out. But sometimes, wait till you're alone and no one's going to hear you, and say everything you have to say, however you need to say it, which is very interesting because when you're not in front of the person, you may find you say different things than you would in the situation. Because when you're alone, you're kind of listening to yourself more. And that was one of the things I wanted to suggest is to listen to yourself more, pay more attention to yourself. Like, how are you phrasing and saying what you're angry about? Is it a lot of blame? Is it a lot of you did and I shouldn't have to, and why did you make me? Why did you make me? Like, that's because now you've given your power away to someone else and saying that they made you feel this way because of their actions. Well, but that's up to you. It's up to you how you react. It may be an angering situation, but it's always your choice to partake in the anger or not. So listening to yourself, you can learn a lot about, you know, where your anger is going.
Writing is one of the best tools to do for this too, because what I found in my practices is to write out situations where you're resentful, whether, you know, you're resentful at people, places, or things, and then find out, like, why you're resentful at them. Like, what happened? What was the situation that made you so angry? What did it threaten? What was it that you were frightened about? What was the end result? What were you afraid of in this situation? Because it's always a situation that you're going to be afraid of. If you become resentful at someone, it's because you have an unburied fear about it. And I think that as you write it out and you realize what your fears are, you can also write out where you played a part in this, you know, because people always play a part in this whole runaround of emotions of anger, resentment, worry, dishonesty, being self-seeking and stuff like that. When you find out what role you're playing in this, then what you're doing is you're taking that thorn out of your side. You're taking that negative energy out of you. You're actually doing soul surgery on yourself is what I'd like to think of it. And before you do that, before you sit down and write about what's going to be bothering you and what's going to be what you're going to dig into, because this is work. This is hardcore work that people need to do to bring themselves to another plane. Call on your spirit guides and your angels and your higher power to, like, really connect with them so you can be shown where you had your part in this. And as that's happening, they send energy to make you whole again. It's the most amazing thing. When your spirit has been blackened or darkened by a hardcore spot of negative energy for a really long time, you can't really remove that by yourself. You need help. You need assistance by a therapist or, you know, a friend or someone who has experience in this as well. Don't dig into your darkest secrets by yourself. I don't recommend that. Always have, you know, call upon, you know, friends and guidance, you know, counselors and stuff too, because I think you'll find yourself that you're going to get better results at the end of the day. You know,
whatever and whoever will help you to be able to look at yourself in a safe, loving environment. Because that's really, you know, why did I make myself feel this way when this person did this or when this happened? Why did I make myself feel it? Why did I feel that way? And then you can start to see, like you said, about the fears. Like, what is this pushing on? Did this push on one of my quote-unquote weaknesses or one of my soft spots? And then I just wanted to, you know, seek and destroy, which is, you're right. A lot of times it does come from fear. And the flip side of that is the expressing. The best case scenario is to express in an assertive manner, not aggressive, but assertive manner, what you're feeling and what you would like to make you feel better. What would make you feel better? Say whatever you need to say about what's happening, but that takes practice. Like, to be able to say that when you're feeling angry and not say all kinds of things that are really just lashing out in anger definitely takes practice. But the unexpressed anger, or also not standing up for yourself, Like, that, when you don't stand up for yourself, and then that same thing keeps happening, and it happens again and again and again, you become a ticking time bomb. And the only reason is because you didn't deal with it the first time. You didn't think it was okay for you to say this, or I might make this person angry if I don't agree with them or go along with what they're doing. Again, some sort of fear that you couldn't express this, and then it can just, you know, then you blow up and you're just like, oh my God, even I don't understand why I got so angry about that. And a lot of times I think it comes from, you know, you knew better and you didn't say, or you could have suggested, but you didn't for whatever reason. So again, when you're looking at these things in whatever manner you choose to soul search, always be loving with yourself. Like, understand why you made the decisions that you made. And when you can understand where you're coming from and why you reacted certain ways, even if it may not have been the best choice, then you can look at, all right, well, I was feeling this, and I was angry with myself for not speaking up when I knew that, you know, I knew better. So, okay, let yourself, you know, forgiveness also very helpful with anger towards ourselves and others. Forgiveness, you know, Jesus' words, once again, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do, and that applies to you too. I didn't know better, and so I did that. If I had known better, I would have made a better choice because I love myself. So, you know, that can be very, what's the greatest tool that we have to combat any of these negativities is love. Love for ourselves and love for our fellow man, and love for quote-unquote mistakes and, you know, freaking out sometimes.
And there are tools that we can suggest too. You know, there's some things that we learn as children, and I have about 10 of them, and I'm sure you could chime in. I'm sure you have a few, but you know, the number one thing you can do when you get angry is take a time out. Something we learn as kids, you know, that kid's overreacting, you put them in a time out. You know, count to 10, take a deep breath. Just take a time out. And it's probably the best tool that any one of us can use, especially in work environments, because you're always going to be coming in touch with people that you're going to, there's friction,
You're breaking up a little bit.
Is this better?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
I can't hear you at all.
Oh, hold on. Nicole? Hello?
All right, are you there? Good Lord.
I think my headset just jammed out.
Ah, well,
so.
Mine jammed out too. I lost the whole thing, and now everybody's back. You know, sometimes when you get close to the, when you get on, you hit on the truth, things happen.
my mother and I often laugh about things like that because she's, you know, as soon as we start delving into very, you know, spiritual issues, our phones always die on us, and we're like, that must be Satan.
Right, it's Babylon going, nope, don't talk about the truth. Nope. Oh, that's funny. But you were saying something about work, about, taking time.
Yeah, timeouts are the best. I have a few things that you can recommend, like, just to help with being angry. Taking a timeout is one of them. there have been situations that in my life where I was, you know, running around with the chicken with their head cut off, and everybody's telling me to do something, and none of it is going with my plan. And the best thing that I ever did was just take a walk outside and take a deep breath, you know? The other one that you said was, when you're calm, express your anger. You know, really think clearly of what's pissing you off, and then state it. There's nothing wrong with owning your anger, and I think that's something that we need to learn how to do. But when you do it, and you can do it at a calm point, and say, you know what, I was very angry about the way that you spoke to me the other day. Or when I listened to you the other day speak to me, I felt angry because you're in a calm place, and you can express your anger in a better way. Another thing here, too, is get some exercise. You know, that always is going to help with everybody's frame of mind, and it pumps up your endorphins. It gives you some happiness, and, you know, it's just an antidepressant. It's a natural antidepressant, so that's a good
thing,
too.
Yeah, that release. You need that release.
Think before you speak. That's another one that we kind of need to take advantage of. Identify possible solutions. That's something that I have to do on a regular basis now that I mean, because when you live with someone, you have to make compromise. I was talking to my niece the other day, and she's 10 years old, and she said that, you know, she can't wait to be married. Being married is easy. And I laughed because I think, honestly, and I've never been, but I think it's probably one of the hardest jobs ever, because it's two people having to make a situation work, and you're not going to be agreeing on all things. So there's so many situations where anger can really, you know, you could be driven mad by some of the things that goes on in your house if you have a spouse or kids. I mean, I have a 14-year-old, and in the room, messy, 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 messy. And then I just realized that all I need to do to prevent me being angry is
shut the door. What?
Shut the door.
Yes, shut the door.
And I don't have to look at it.
Right. Save yourself.
I don't have to look at it anymore. I have done this to myself. Like, you know, I used to be angry when she did this or that. Now I just, you know, I don't let it bother me because I do something different. I've made a solution to that. You know, another thing, too, is just a couple more about the tips that I found, sticking with I statements. So don't put blame on other people. And that's kind of like what I said before, when you're talking to someone, say, I left upset because this is how I was feeling.
Right.
You know.
Very helpful.
Yeah. Don't hold that grudge. I have people in my own family that have held grudges for 20 years,
wow.
And I can honestly tell you, they've had issues with weight, they've had issues with being sick, they're holding on to things that they shouldn't hold on to, and I really think holding a grudge is probably the hardest, so using forgiveness to let go of that grudge is the best thing you could do for yourself. Having a grudge is peeing your pants. Nobody really notices but you. Like, and you have to...
Great. What a great analogy. That's great. Yeah.
You just get out of those pants, throw them in the laundry, you'll be fine. No, the person that you know that you're pissed off at, that you're holding that grudge, do they know that you're holding a grudge? And do they care? I doubt it.
Right.
And then the last couple ones were using humor to release tension, which I typically do, but don't use sarcasm because that's not going to help. That's just going to make things worse. And practice relaxation, take it easy, do some yoga poses, write in your journal, listen to your favorite music, whether it be AC/DC or classic lullabies. I mean, there's, you know, whatever, each to his own. And then the last one here is just know when to seek help. And that's kind of like what I was explaining to, referring to before, because sometimes, and I know this for a fact, and being, imbalanced in certain ways, my depression and my anger had gotten me to a point where I couldn't realize it and move away from it without the help of other people. So I was talking to someone before, and they said, you know, how do you know if you're an angry person or something? And typically someone's going to tell you if you're that angry person, you know. So lift it up to your friends and your advisors and your,
you know, if someone says that you have those tendencies, whether it's someone at work or someone who cares about you a lot, be open to the fact that you may be angry, maybe holding on to something from your past that you're not even aware of. So it's good to always be open to explore your past, your situation, to make yourself better.
Yeah, I'll add a couple things with the forgiveness. If you just say forgiveness statements, whether you mean it or not, and if you put it into a practice once a week or whatever you feel comfortable, just saying, I forgive so-and-so, picturing them and say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. It's all you have to say. You may not believe it in the beginning, but the more you say it, the more you'll start to release. That word forgive is very powerful. And then I forgive myself for hating this person or for getting so angry or for letting myself get, you know, for letting this person make me angry. Self-forgiveness, just you say it a million times as much as you possibly can, and definitely helpful. And then, and like you said, with comedy, you know, don't take yourself too seriously. Like, that's another thing that when you stop and listen to yourself, you're like, oh my God, I sound like... I mean, what am I, Napoleon? Like, settle down here, guy, you know? and also to realize that getting angry will never fix anything. So being an Aries, you're born with the anger that can go in many directions. And a lot of us, it's just like every other sign, but you have to learn how to deal with your own anger. And so what was I gonna say? So knowing what you can do to calm yourself in this moment, and take the time in the beginning. If you're learning to manage your anger, you go, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to find a better way. In the beginning, whenever you as soon as you can catch it, that feeling of anger, you're like, uh-oh, this is making me annoyed, and you can feel the blood rising. That's the moment to work with. And so, first of all, be thankful that you have this experience so that you can learn to deal with your anger and do whatever you need to do to just not engage right then. Just don't engage. You can always say something later, but figure out first, later, what made you so angry. And it may take you a couple days. You might not know at first, but don't engage. Whatever you do,
pause for agitated. But,
yes, make sure that at some point you deal with it, because you don't want to suppress it and then create problems for yourself. But to address it in the beginning, the minute you feel that and the minute you recognize it, go into a neutral. It's too much to try to make yourself happy or to make yourself not feel angry. That's unnatural. It's not going to work. Just look for that calm state.
It kind of reminds me of like a something that needs, I know we're coming to an end, but just to remember that anger is a hot vibration. You know, like you said, it creates a high blood pressure. So one of the best things that we could do for us, and this is really a simple thing, is to just take a cold shower. People say all the time, take a cold shower. It's too messed
up.
Take a walk. But the thing with anger is it's definitely associated with the color red. It's our chakra red. It's our root chakra, which is our stability. So if our stability is getting thrown off or excited or messed up, what we need to do is balance it with the opposite color. So if you're feeling yourself being angry often, stay away from the color red. Try to incorporate a little bit more green in your life, because that's actually opposite of anger. That's happiness, enthusiasm, and stuff like that. So I do know that color therapy does work in this in mm-hmm. situations where you're dealing with emotions. There's lots mm-hmm. of different therapies.
Definitely. Good point. And Daughters of Isis makes a wonderful rescue remedy. It's a mister where you mist your face and your surroundings, and the rescue remedy can bring you just to a joyful, calming state in times of trouble. And anger being one of them. So whatever kind of sense, you can check them out at daughtersofisis.com. And you can even feel free to call Gwen the blender and say, you know, I'm having anger issues. What do you suggest? And she'll definitely help you with the aromatherapy that can put you in a natural state just from the smell of it, you know. Calm you down. So
yeah, don't fuel your anger. Don't run out and chemically induce your anger to make it a bigger vibration. There's no need to pump yourself up on caffeine when you're already that excited. You know, the best thing is, you know, tension chamber teas. I know it sounds, you know, silly, but these are things that will help to relax.
Yeah, and if you're more relaxed on a more consistent basis in general, it will take more for you to anger. So
absolutely.
Even, you know, in times of calm, really milk that calm and see what happens. Well, this is great. I feel like we just touched on the surface of the anger, but maybe we'll do it again either next week or at a later date. But I hope everyone enjoyed themselves. I'm going to play us out with a song that I think can embody anger. I know that she's singing probably about relationships, but, you know, they do intertwine sometimes. So thank you so much, Di. It's a pleasure, as always. And peace and love to all of our listeners. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to hearing you next week. Anything to add, Dart?
Nope, just have a great week. And look forward to talking to everyone next week. And I always enjoy our time together.
Great. All right. Love yourself and love the world. Here we go. Pink.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.